So, by the way, Johannes, I have a tradition in my videos, in my interviews. Can you do the most sexy clap this camera ever saw in his life?
The most sexy clap.
All right. Okay, it's a double clap. Watch yourself, ladies. Exactly. All right. So, hello, hello, mes rebelles intelligents. I'm actually with Johannes. Hello. What's up, man?
How are you doing?
Great. So we're actually in Brasilia, in Brazil, and I met this gentleman like a few days ago at LaunchCon, the event of Jeff Walker, and you share with me this amazing story that you basically stopped to work for 6 months and roamed the world, especially in the US. So I wanted you to share the experience with my audience. So first, can you explain briefly what you're doing, what is your business?
I have an info product business in the Spanish market, and I started 5 years ago with a speed reading course. Basically, I read, like 10 years ago, I read Tim Ferriss' book, the 4-hour work week. And he started off with the speed reading course. I don't know if you remember
Absolutely, I remember that. But he didn't sell. He couldn't sell it.
He did like a seminar and he couldn't sell it.
On tapes.
Exactly.
And then he asked his mother to destroy the tapes 10 years after.
Exactly. So, but that was like part where the idea came from, and I was at a point in my life where my daughter was born and I wanted to have more time and flexibility, but keep my lifestyle. So I was looking for options and I found out about this whole info product world and didn't know what to do. And I remembered Tim Ferriss and the speed reading, and I started investigating and saw that there's not much going on in the Spanish market.
Because you're German, but you live in Barcelona.
In Barcelona, yeah. It's actually funny because this book has been read by millions of people, but there was still nobody doing that. So
it's always the case. Most of the people, they read or they consume the content, but they don't do anything about it.
So I had that idea, but I didn't have an author and I wasn't ready to put my face in front of a camera at that moment and build a personal brand. But I had a friend at that time who didn't have a job. He studied history and has always been reading a lot. And I thought he might be a good author for that course. So I went out and bought like a stack of books about speed reading and gave him these books. And I paid him for 3 months so he could learn that.
Really?
Get good at it.
So where did the money come from? Were you already an entrepreneur at this point?
Yeah, I was working as a consultant before, as a freelance consultant, as a project manager for big companies. So I made quite good money, and that was also a reason why I looked for a business that I would be able to maintain my lifestyle. I was flying around the world. Basically, I was flying every week. So from Monday to Thursday, I was never at home.
But you were exchanging your time from your money as a consultant,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you had money, but not time, so you paid a guy to read the books. That's a very smart strategy.
Exactly. So I got a guy to read the books, and not only read the books, but actually sit down with the books and train that and really get good at it, because I didn't want to just create a summary of all these books. I wanted him to really get good at it, and then based on his own experience creating course, and he actually is good, like he reads over 1,000 words per minute, and that's like a user reader reads between 250, I think is about the average, and he got to 1,000 words per minute, so he got actually good at it, and he created a course, and over the last 5 years, we have sold several million euros of that product.
That's amazing. So, and you trained the guy, and you paid him to read
He trained himself, but I paid him to train himself, and then I helped him to create a structure for an online training, for an online course, basically, and I trained myself and copywriting and traffic and funnel. So basically I spent 1 year learning, and I flew over to the United States several times, and I trained myself in all aspects regarded with info product businesses and online marketing.
Wow. And so it's the first big takeaway, I mean, for people, because that's amazing. Most people would have been stuck in the I don't have time mode, you know, but you solved the problem really creatively by paying a guy to consume the content. So he could be the expert of the there was a risk that the guy would be paid to do nothing, right? Or that he wouldn't like apply, or he wouldn't get results.
Yeah, I wouldn't get results, or he wouldn't be good at it, but it was, so we were lucky with that. So that worked out. And then 2 years later, like my community, the speed reading community, asked for memory training. So I thought about creating a memory training as a second product, but I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to have the same person create the memory course, because I didn't want to depend so much. I didn't want my business to depend so much on one person. That's not me. So I chased down a guy who's called Ramon Campayo. He's Spanish, and he's 9 times world memory champion.
Good.
And I went after him for quite a long time.
Because he was a star, so you didn't
He was a star. I sent him an email. He didn't answer. I tried to find out his phone number. There was no way. I sent him a postal letter. He didn't answer.
So what work in the end?
So I did his course. Like he did, classroom courses. And so I signed up for his course, and I paid for his course. I did his course, and then I approached him during his course, and we had lunch together, and I proposed him the idea to go online with the stuff he's doing, and I somehow convinced him. And then so we started then a second business, the memory training. That's where I started using the Jeff Walker's product launch formula for that product.
Okay, all right. Again, you solve very creatively a problem. If you really want to connect with someone and you can't, usually you have two options. Either you go to an event he's organizing or where he will be, you know, like as a guest speaker, and you try to corner him like in a way, in a friendly way, of course, or you buy his course if he has a course, which is also a great way to connect with people, especially if you apply the course and you have results and you give him a great testimonial, because immediately you are on his radar. Yeah. You're not like just a random guy trying to spam him about something he doesn't understand.
Yeah, that's true.
Great. So the business grew, but you were like working a lot, or?
I was working a lot the first 2 years probably, and then I started building a team and I started working less and less. Actually, one of the reasons I created the business was having time freedom and money. So I set up the business since the beginning in a way that I would have that. So I did work a lot the first 2-3 years to get it off the ground, but I designed it in a way that I could step back then. Actually, saw an interview with Dean Jackson. You know Dean Jackson?
No.
He's an American marketing guy as well. He has a product about real estate investing, I believe, or for real estate agents. And I saw an interview with him right at the moment when I was starting my business. And there was one key takeaway I took from that interview, and that was that when you create a business, that one of the first questions you have to ask yourself is, which lifestyle do you want to live? Mm-hmm. And that so many people create their own business because they want freedom, but then they get into a business
Absolutely.
That doesn't give them freedom.
So that's a common story.
Exactly, that's a common story. So that was, that was like a key thing for me to see that interview in that moment. So I designed my business in a way I could do that. Yeah, and last year was the first year where we made over €1 million. And that year, I only worked for half of the year, and the other half of year to year, I traveled the world with my family, basically. And
that's amazing. So that's what I want to really go down to that, because it's really important and interesting. The other 6 months, how much did you work? Did you work a lot, or?
It really depends.
Okay.
I have not been working Fridays since like 10 years. Also as a consultant, as a freelance, I worked really intense from Monday to Thursday, but I usually don't work Fridays. Although, unless we're like in a launch or there's like an exception. So I did work the other 6 months, I did work like normal working hours, but 4 days a week, not 5 days.
Okay.
And then I took the 6 months off. That was last year.
How did you do that?
Having a good team. Having a good team. I mean, one thing is...
So you had the team before you decided to have this goal of going out 6 months?
6 months,
yeah. Of the country
I set the goal like a year and a half before. Actually, our idea was to go for a year, but then after a year we decided to go back. But we could have done a year probably. I set the goal and then I worked on it. But I already had a team, but what I did is to make the team more independent through processes we implemented and getting the right people in the right places. And actually, there was one problem I really, through the 6 months, and that's something I still feel bad for. Like, I really burned one person. She was my assistant at that
time.
Like,
she did a burnout.
Yeah, not like a medical burnout, but...
she was exhausted.
She was exhausted, and she's not working with me in that position anymore because she just couldn't do it anymore. Mm. So
you did a mistake in the management?
I did a mistake. There was one person that I gave her too much responsibility. She basically was the communication point. So she was my assistant at that time. She was the only one who was allowed to talk to me during these six months for my team.
Yep.
So everything had to go through her, and actually we had a very structured approach. I had a call with her on Mondays. Mm-hmm. And that was all the communication I had with my office, basically, during these 6 months.
Wow. So a call of how long? Depends?
Depends. Between 10 minutes and 45 minutes, probably.
Okay. But, I mean, on paper, it seems like an amazing process to be sure that you will not be bothered too much by the business, right?
Yeah.
And how many people were in your team at this point?
12, 13,
okay, so
like
it's
that.
Already like
12, a 12 people, team. I think. Yeah.
Employees, freelancers?
Half, probably, but the freelancers are like full-time freelancers. Basically, so like 12 full-time resources. There, some of them are in Colombia, so that's different to do a contract. So I pay them through like a freelance website. But for me, it's not so important the type of contract they have, right? It's more, are they committed to my business? Is my business their job? And yes, that was the case.
Okay. So you put in place this process and you said to your team, okay, I'm going to the US for 6 months, and please don't bother me.
Exactly, basically.
Run the business.
Basically, I did that. And as I said, there's one person that was like the key person in between the team and me, and it was too much for her. But if I look at the rest of the team, and everybody else is still on my team now, and there was a before and after. So they grew a lot as team and as persons, having this responsibility and not being able to come back to me. This mosquito is always flying right on my nose.
Yeah, right.
and not having to come back to me to solve problems, right? So it was actually really good for my team. It was not easy, but it was really good for my team and a really good investment in my team and my company as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like for me to have vacation. It was also, and that was also part of the purpose why I did that. It's like the best team building exercise you can do. I think it's just give the team all the responsibility and let them do it. There's obviously a risk they will screw up your business.
Nice.
But luckily that didn't happen. My business survived. And as I said, it was, yeah, it continued growing. And in that year we jumped the €1 million mark. So it worked out.
Awesome. And so I'm curious, when you said to your team, I'm going to travel on the truck for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs will be afraid to share this with the team because they will be afraid to be judged by the people. Or like, oh, so the boss is having vacation for 6 months and he will make money and I will do the work. So how did you handle these?
I didn't think about it so much. And there was not. I think probably these things, if you think about it and you're worried about it, then that somehow you sub-communicate that and then your team will think like that. Mm-hmm. But I think if you don't, I didn't think about it. And people were actually happy they had the opportunity to grow and to take more responsibility. It's a way of how do you communicate it? Are you afraid and to communicate that, then they know that? Or are you actually communicating it as an opportunity for the team to grow and to take more responsibility?
Okay. And do you also like give this opportunity to some member of your team if they want to travel and maybe continue to work a little bit? And
Yeah, I do. There are actually people from my team that have done that, not for 6 months, but I do give the opportunity, yes.
Okay.
There's one person on my team who has been traveling the world for the last 4 years.
Wow.
And he does work, but he has spent a few years in Japan, a few years in India, a few years in the Caribbean, and another few years,
A few months. Okay.
But he's been traveling for around 4 years, and other people do that as well. So
cool. All right. And so the experiment was like great for you, but you mentioned that you had a problem with you did a mistake, which is like to create this like just one way for your business to communicate.
I don't
with
think
you.
It was a mistake. I think it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the way we set it up is on Monday the team had a team meeting. Mm-hmm. It's a virtual team, so it's all virtual, but we had like a Zoom call. And that's something we already did. We also did when I was there, like a meeting to organize the week and look at what did we do last week, what are we going to do this week, are there any problems, any decisions we need. So the team that made that meeting without me, after that my assistant called me and said, like, told me what happened in the meeting and if there was any decision I had to take or any question I had to answer for them to keep going. And I gave her that answer, and then she communicated that back to the team. That was basically the process we did. The mistake was not... I don't think that was a mistake. The mistake was that it was not the right person.
Okay.
For that job, and I have somebody doing this job now, or a similar job, because I'm a little more involved in my business right now, but you need a person that has really the capacity to manage the business, right? In that case, she was like just my assistant. She did a great job, but she was, in that role, she wasn't like just my assistant who was communicating my voice. That's what I thought when I set that up. But to really got into a role where she was managing the business, and she was not the right person to do that.
Okay, so for example, what happened that made you think that? Like,
it made me think what
were the problems you encountered?
No, the problems were that when I came back, I saw her. She was pretty much burned out, and she started being demotivated. That's the problem.
There
was no problem. Like the 6 months worked good.
Okay,
as I said,
she did the job right, but she worked too much, and she was completely disgusted by it.
She went too much out of her natural abilities.
Okay.
She was not disgusted. She was not like blaming me for anything, but I saw that she was at her limit, and she started. Rejecting tasks that involved any kind of responsibility. She basically wanted to do just for me here to delegate very specific tasks, but she didn't want to have any kind of, she like started being allergic to taking responsibility for anything. And that doesn't work, because my, like the philosophy I built my team is that everybody takes a lot of responsibility. So that didn't help, but we found a good way. I helped her to build a business on her own, and she's still collaborating for me for specific things as a freelancer. Mm-hmm. So we found a really good way for her to have something now, and so.
Okay.
So the solution is solved. It was more a personal thing for her, but cool. It did work for the 6 months. Yes.
All right. And so you were happy with the experiments, except these
small. Yes, yeah. I was happy with the experience. I mean, obviously, if I had been there, the business would have grown faster. Mm-hmm. I'm sure about that. The growth we did, I told you, like we made more that year than the year before. But these were things I had already set up before, and also we did a launch when I was back after 6 months. We did a quite successful launch as well. So in these 6 months, basically, what the team did was to maintain the business. Mm. They were not able to grow the business, and also like new projects or change projects, I had told them they should do in that time did not get off the ground in the way they would have gotten off the ground with me. But okay. what they were able to do is to maintain the current business. Customers were happy, sales were not stagnating. So that's what I've seen. But that's probably also part of the person. Like I think I actually want to do a similar. I'm actually right now doing a similar experiment again. I'm not traveling, but I'm currently working on a new business. Mm-hmm. And I'm involved a little more. Like I have 2 meetings a week with my team now, and they can also contact me in between if there's something urgent. But I'm not spending a lot of time in my business right now, and I have other people in place to lead that team.
Okay. So it was also a great way for you to make sure your business could like run without you. Now you have like this bulletproof process.
I still, exactly. But yeah. Now I have other people with their like higher level people from their skill set.
So it's more shared. Among people, multiple people instead of one?
It's 2 people. We have 1 for operations and 1 for sales and marketing, basically. Mm-hmm. So we shared operations and finances. And on the other hand, we have sales and marketing. So I split the responsibility, because I currently don't have a person who could do all of it. Mm-hmm. And also the people that are in place are like, different kind of people that are really able to manage the business. And right now we are growing without my involvement.
All right, so cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So last question before it's completely dark and we don't see anything else. How did you do to fill the void? Because Tim Ferriss explains very well in his book that the biggest problem for entrepreneurs is not like to be more productive and, to make sure you do more things in less time. It's to fill the void outside of work. Because if you don't have anything to do, nobody wants to be bored and just, look at the sky. So what did you do to fill the void?
I mean, I didn't have a big void because it was just 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's not...
But 6 months without working at all.
It's a two-part question. It's this, what did I do the 6 months? And the other thing, what am I doing now? Mm-hmm. The 6 months was no problem at all. I have a small daughter. She was 5 years back then. And so while we were in the U.S., we spent 6 weeks, almost 2 months traveling with one of these Jute caravans through California and Arizona as a family. And I just enjoyed the time with my family. And then... Then we spent 4 and a half months in New York, in Manhattan, and there she went to kindergarten, but just a few hours in the morning. So I basically really focused on my family and on my daughter. Mm-hmm. I did photography courses. I discovered all the museums in New York.
So a lot of passions. You explore passions.
Exactly. So I had time to explore passions and things I like to do, like photography is something I was really into photography early in my life, and I didn't have time for many years, so that's something I really went deep back into photography again during that time. I went to museums, I spent a lot of time with my family. So there was no void in these 6 months.
Hmm.
Right now...
Because you don't work too much also right now, right?
Yeah, right now on my current business, I just work basically a few hours a week. Mm-hmm. So right now, we talked about that earlier at lunch, like I'm in the process of defining what my next step is. Hmm. I don't want to just travel the world, and also I have my daughter now, so I there's like a place I have to be in Barcelona and Spain, so, and I'm not ready to retire, so
right.
so right now I'm defining
my
next business exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm defining my next business, and there are a lot of very interesting opportunities right now, and I'm working on that, so that really motivates me, and I'm creating my own business, and probably it's going to be a personal brand, and that's something I was not ready to do back then, and this is why I look for the authors and created these kinds of courses. So that's a challenge for me, and I'm looking forward to that. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right. So people can follow you somewhere right now? You don't have any like presence for yourself?
Not yet. I mean, I have an Instagram. It's more like a personal Instagram, but people can follow me because I will start. Start building a personal brand. It's Johannes Waldo, my name on Instagram. Okay.
So I'm not sure like most French speakers can like write that. So but we'll put the link in the description.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And currently it's a private Instagram. Like I think it's even private. I've accept people and they're like pictures of me and travels and my daughter.
It's a private.
Like
so it's not even. I mean, okay. But, you can hear the link.
But you can follow me. I will accept you if I see your French. I will accept you and I will make this a public Instagram and start building a brand. So
all right.
You're probably.
And I mean, we also publish these on the English YouTube channel, so
yes,
you will have people from all over the world.
Exactly.
So, all right. Thank you, Johannes,
for
share that. And I hope it inspires you guys. So, I think you can take a few takeaways from him. When you have a problem, like I don't have time, I want to create a new product, but I don't have the skills, I don't have the time to learn. You can pay someone to do it or find a solution. Same thing, if you see someone who has a potential but doesn't know marketing, you can partner with him and bring to him like the skills he needs, etc. And of course, another example that it's totally possible to have a business that is in service of your life, to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people, and to be free to do whatever you want. It's not easy, but it's possible. And he did it, I did it, I'm doing, we are doing it, and a lot of other entrepreneurs are doing it, you can too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody can do it. And don't feel bad about thinking you don't work and your team doesn't like that. Like if you approach it the right way, your team is happy to take responsibility.
All right. Thank you, mes rebelles intelligents. See you soon for the next video. And in the meantime, don't forget, be intelligent, be rebel, be free, and be part of the people who create businesses that are in service of their lives instead of the contrary. Ciao.
Merci d'avoir écouté ce podcast. Si vous l'avez aimé, est-ce que je peux vous demander une petite faveur? Laissez un commentaire sur iTunes pour dire ce que vous appréciez dans le podcast, tout simplement. Ça aidera d'autres rebelles intelligents comme vous à trouver le podcast et puis à être inspiré tous les jours ou presque par lui. Merci et à très vite pour de nouvelles aventures.